Welcome back to Power Hour. I don't want to miss any time here because I want to hear from Dr. Judy Wood and you. It's 9 o'clock. This is Joyce Riley. This is the Power Hour. We're talking about 9/11. Let me just say that Dr. Judy Wood is a PhD in engineering. She's got a lot more credentials than I do. I am just interested in what she has to say. So many of you have asked to have her on the program. Lots of requests to have Dr. Judy Wood on. She's now here. Now, don't berate me because I'm bringing on a guest that you don't agree with. If you don't agree with her, we walk away and say, you know what? That was an hour of which, well, I just don't agree with her. That's okay. But we don't have to get mean about it. And Steve, you're a wonderful person, and I love you very much, Steve from Florida. But, you know, let's just try and get down to what the fact is. Now, before we go to George in Ontario, let me ask you this question then. If it was not the thermite or the explosions or the planes that brought down the tower, what does your evidence show you, Dr. Wood?
The evidence must be explained. If somebody wants to hide the evidence, they call it names. They call it a theory. Now, evidence is evidence. It's not synonymous with theory. The evidence shows that energy fields, a high-tech form of weaponry that we haven't seen before, was used. I don't know the serial numbers. I don't know whose weapon this was, but it is the same technology that was brought about 100 years ago by Nikola Tesla. All of the evidence is the same, and it's been reproduced, and it's falsifiable, so it's very scientific if somebody needs those terms.
Okay.
And so what you start out is looking at the evidence. Don't look at beliefs. This isn't about beliefs. This is about what evidence we can establish. And we had not three towers, you know, fall. We had seven buildings destroyed that day. Four of them were skyscrapers. And all four skyscrapers went away. That's what I say. They went away. I'm not saying they disappeared. They're no longer standing. That, I think, we can establish. They went away and they turned to dust. They became dust. We can see that. And there's all sorts of evidence that establishes that, including the seismic signal. The seismic signal for Building 7 is essentially non-existent. How do you have a seven-story building explode, crash, whatever you want to call it, and not make a seismic signal?
Now, that's a good point. There should have been a seismic signal, just like there was when Oklahoma City bombing occurred. There were two seismic signals on that tape when I went out to the university to get a copy of it right after it happened. So you're saying that this is some type, I don't want to be putting words in your mouth. Is this some type of directed energy weapon that you're talking about here?
Yeah, my definition, because I don't, you know, before I started this, I'd never heard of directed energy weapons. I didn't know what they were, but the evidence told me they exist. I don't know what to call this thing. I don't, of course, know its serial numbers, but it's energy that is directed and is used as a weapon. That is my generic description. I'm not talking about ray beams from space. I'm not talking about lasers from space or masers and, you know, ray guns. No, this is an energy field. It's field effects. Is interference of energy fields.
So you're saying it was some type of energy weapon that did the damage to these buildings then, these seven buildings. Okay, let me go to George in Canada. I don't know that I have much time, but I'll hold you all through the break. George, go ahead, please. You're on the air with Dr. Wood.
Good morning, Joyce.
Morning.
Well,
George Freund.
Yes, indeed. I take issue to a couple of things you said. Is there was something about burning metals being underwater and not burning. Burning metals are a Class D fire, not an A, B, or C. Burning metals do burn underwater. Divers can weld underwater. Phosphorus burns in your flesh if you've ever had a phosphorus bomb go off in you. And, you know, you have to be put in a sort of an oil substance to be operated on because it's a burning metal.
Okay,
I didn't say burning metal. I said, like rivers of molten metal, you don't store molten metal at the bottom of your swimming pool.
Okay, we'll be right back after this 3-minute break. We've got George Freund from Canada, and we have Dr. Judy Wood. And we're going to try to get to the bottom of this. Then we'll get to our next guest in just a few minutes after we answer some more questions. We'll be back. Stay tuned to the Power Hour. Welcome back to the Power Hour. This is Joyce Riley, 8 minutes after the hour. Thank you for joining us. We are talking about 9/11. A little bit different story coming from Dr. Judy Wood. A little bit different evidence, if you will, or questions being asked. And, you know, I don't know the answers. So, you know what? I'm very appreciative of people who have more credentials than I then share information. Now, I may accept it, I may not, but I really appreciate the information being shared today. We have also on the phone with us George Freund. Now, George, your issue, what is your issue, whether it's not it's the molten metal burning underwater, but what is your issue with what Dr. Wood is saying?
Well, if you're going to represent facts, the facts have to speak for themselves. And I heard your guest say that you couldn't have a molten metal underwater. Well, that's quite an error. You can. Welders weld underwater. All kinds of metals that may not exactly be burning but may be molten exist in a very hot state underwater. And you can't put out a hot metal Class D fire with water, foam, or any of the traditional firefighting methods you would use in an ABC fire. In a Class D fire, but the only way you could put it out is to cover it with sand and cut off the oxygen. But, you know, there's many things I take issue with. Another one is, you know, this nanothermite issue not being explosive. And I refer you to a place called the MIT in a magazine called Technology Review, where an article from MIT scientists is posted on the uses of nanotechnology. You get a much better bang for your buck. Kenvin Walter, Vice President of Nanoscale Technology, says nanometals can be produced in particles as small as 8 nanometers and then combined with other chemicals to create explosive materials, which can be used for non-military applications, including pyrotechnics and exploding explosives for mining. And it can also be used, according to Jane's expert on this, a fellow by the name of Oppenheimer, and I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with that name if they know the Manhattan Project, that the United States, Germany, and Russia are developing many nuke devices that use nanotechnology to create much smaller nuclear detonations. So nanotechnology and nanothermites and other metals are used to make explosives, and that is a complete red herring and misnomer. And one of the other things I take issue to is the company that did the fireproofing for the World Trade Center, TRW. They make fire retardant materials. They took out the asbestos and replaced same. They also make nanothermites. So a chap called Arden Bement, a metallurgist, an expert on fuels and materials, nominated as NIST director by President Bush in October 2001, Deputy Secretary of Defense, former Director of DARPA's Office of Material Science, and former executive at TRW, ends up being the guy who does the report on this, and he's done many other explorations into the use of nanothermites with NASA and other contractors for the military to use as weapons. TRW also got the contract for the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center, had all the documents, the blueprints, and all the technical information. And this chap's relative is, actually it's his father, I believe, is the conspiracy debunker Zdenek P. Bazant. And
okay, let me stop you right there, because I want her to respond to this. But let's go to the issue.
Wait, hang on. I do not engage in conspiracy theory, and everything he was saying is conspiracy theory. It's about who did what to whom when. I look at the evidence, and if you would like to look at the evidence, I share it with the world, and the evidence that was submitted in my federal QI-TAM case is available on my website, drjudywood.com. That's DrJudyWood, drjudywood.com. And if you put a /WTC, that will take you to my Cliff Notes page, where you can go through the whole load of pictures of evidence.
All right, let me just say one thing here also. Hanny in Korea, South Korea, emailed and said, please ask the guest why molten steel remained months after 9/11 if there was no thermite. Now, I do want your response to that one.
Thermite seems to be the ultimate boogeyman. First, you have to establish what happened. Is there molten metal? Then are people wading through it? You have people all over, the quote pile. And nobody burned up. There's okay, no reports of people being burned.
Well, I've seen pictures of molten metal. It appeared to be molten metal to me.
It doesn't mean it's hot. Again,
okay.
Everything that, you know, things that are hot glow, but not everything that glows is hot.
All right, let me go back to George. George, ask her one question that you would like to get answered.
Well, I don't think MIT does much in conspiracy theory, especially at those levels.
Is that a question?
If I may ask my question. I remember 9/11 very clearly, and you talk about Hurricane Aaron coming and having some effects. And I do recall almost every picture, in fact, every picture I've seen of New York on that day, the sky was blue. Clear blue, not a cloud in the sky. If you go and follow the track of her...
Do you have a question?
A second. Okay, he's asking the question about the, obviously, about the hurricane. I never heard about the hurricane. This is hurting, I think, the situation because we can't verify some of your so-called evidence here. I mean, I'm trying to. I'm wanting
to. If you go to drjudywood.com/WTC, there's a whole page of evidence there. And, you know, if somebody wants to say, well, I didn't look at the page, but I know it's wrong,
that we're saying we, you know, hurricanes are things that are documented.
Yes.
And if you have it documented and nobody else does, then where did
the National Hurricane Center has it documented. This is another issue. Why is it not been publicized? Why weren't people warned that there's this hurricane that was predicted to be bigger than Katrina? It was predicted to be bigger, and it, as it turns out, its energy system was greater than Katrina.
Aaron, E-R-I-N?
E-R-I-N, Aaron.
We're trying to look it up now. All right, ask her a question, George, then I got to let you go because I got other people who want to talk.
One quick one I'd like to bring up, too, because it never gets into the 911 lexicon, is the French use a demolition technique called vironnage. Vironnage means you take out support.
Okay, but ask her a question.
Let's deal with evidence, not who did what to whom when, who can do what to whom. Let's deal with evidence.
Yeah, well, this is evidence. They use this as a technique. And Mr. Rodriguez said they sealed off a couple of floors in the World Trade Center.
So-and-so said.
Wait a minute. There's evidence. William Rodriguez was there, and he stated, and I believe him. I happen to believe William Rodriguez, that there was a sealed-off area.
And if you put explosives in that sealed-off area, you took out one floor, the kinetic energy of the floors above would squash the building.
That's
very readily
theory.
Apparent on YouTube. You can see it online.
That's conspiracy
if you look up
theory.
Vironnage,
I do not engage in conspiracy.
French demolition.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, George, for the phone call. Let me move on to George in Indiana. George in Indiana, you're on the air. Go ahead, please. A firsthand witness there who's responsible for saving many of the lives in the tower. I don't think that's conspiracy evidence, and I would not want to be found charging him with that.
But you're saying who did what about planting explosives wherever? That's a theory.
No, he didn't say that. He said there were two areas sealed off, two floors sealed off.
But the person who was calling in just now was talking about it was theorizing what explosives were put there by whom when. That is a conspiracy theory.
Okay, let's go to George. All right, let's go to George in Indiana. George, okay. You're on the air. Go ahead, please, with Dr. Wood.
Yes, this is disinfo information. There's so much to go on. I just got 2 points. The firemen that were there fighting the fires, their boots were melting. There's YouTube videos of them telling them that their boots were melting. They said they looked down into the basement, and they saw molten metal running down the channel rails like a foundry. I think that is evidence because they were seeing it. Now,
okay.
The second thing, Dr. Stephen Jones has several peer-reviewed papers, and I think you know what that is, that there was nanothermite that was unexploded, found it in the dust particles on 5 or 6 different locations. You're not using evidence. You're a disinfo agent.
Now, wait a minute. We don't need to go with that.
Don't like the evidence, they tend to go to name-calling. But, okay, I don't go after name-calling, but I will ask this question. You know, and encourage anyone who believes, if they have a belief system, that their evidence is good, they are free to submit it to a federal case. They are free to submit it to a government agency.
Mm-hmm.
But I will warn you, it is a crime to submit fraudulent evidence or to defraud the government. And it is of great curiosity why, with all this talk about thermite, no one has submitted it to a government agency.
Yeah, that is a very good point. That is an excellent point.
What I am talking about, my evidence of energy weapons, I submitted that to a government agency in March 2007. And from that, that was my act of blowing the whistle. I submitted a federal whistleblower case with that evidence. If this is, fraudulent disinfo, I would be held for treason.
Let me just add, I have been through the process of filing a QI-TOM case. As you all know, I've talked about it. Riley v. St. Luke's Episcopal Hospital is a QI-TOM case. I know what you have to go through. You have to actually meet with the Department of Justice before you can ever file the case so that they can make sure you don't have some kind of other agenda or reason for filing it. I've been through the whole process that she was through. I can really appreciate that. Why hasn't David Ray Griffin, or why haven't some of the other people, Richard Gage or whomever, and I'm not saying they're wrong, I'm just saying why haven't they filed a QI-TOM case, or why haven't they gone forward with this very same attack on whatever it was to be able to try and show their point in court? That's my only question. George in Indiana, are you saying that there's no way you believe it could be a directed energy weapon?
I think it may have been a combination of things.
Okay, good point. Excellent point. Now, wait a second. We're getting somewhere here. We don't know what the answer is right now. Let's be open. Hey, thank you very much, George in Indiana, for the phone call. We'll go to Bill in Pennsylvania next after this 4-minute break. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Power Hour. Thank you for joining us today on the Power Hour. I want to just go back real quickly here and say that, yes, okay, it's 9:24 in the morning. We're talking about 9/11. Dr. Judy Wood is our guest. Andrew Johnson's going to be joining us in just a few minutes from the UK for his position on this. We just found out that at the National Hurricane Center, it talks about the longest hurricane in the 2001 time frame was September 1st to the 15th. September 1st to the 15th. That's the National Hurricane Center. All right, now, what does this mean, Judy? What does this mean if there was a hurricane, like you said, from the 1st to the 15th of September? What are you saying that means?
I'm not saying that particular data means, everything. It's just, you got to look at all of the data first before you jump to conclusions. But, what do hurricanes do? Hurricanes have field effects. Now, people talk about feeling a storm coming. Birds head for the hills. They run for cover. They go to caves or whatever, wherever they go hide. They don't sit in a tree and wait to get hit by a hurricane. Animals, including people, sense field effects from approaching storms.
Okay, but I want to cut to the chase because we're about out of time. You said that there was a large hurricane during that time. We didn't believe you. We checked it out. Sure enough, from the National Hurricane Center, right.
Why didn't we ever hear about it?
Okay, good point.
It wasn't on the morning news at 8:30 that morning.
Bingo. You're absolutely right. All right, let me go to Bill in Pennsylvania. Bill, you're on the air. Go ahead, please, with Dr. Wood.
Good morning, Joyce. I am so appreciative that you have this fine little lady on here today.
Thank you.
I have waited 9 years to hear these types of comments, and I'm not a scientist, but Dr. Woods, many of us have observed the same things that you have said, and none of it has made much sense. The buildings, for the most part, the upper levels, they did disappear. There is film upon film of that. And there were cars parked 2 and 3 blocks away that were literally fried. And yet there were people who ran right past them, and they never felt the heat.
Bingo.
Now, what was it? I'm not sure, but I'm suspecting what you said about Dr. Tesla and longitudinal waves. If you combine that with some of the information, there's not much available, but on scalar weapons.
Yes.
S-C-A-L-A-R?
Yes. Yes. Instead of using a particular name, because that leads to a bias, I look at the evidence, mm-hmm. and that is what the evidence leads to.
It does. And when you look at some of the other films, the ones that we all know, the usual films, but there's many other films of the buildings, and they did vaporize, dustify was your
dustify.
Word, but they did. They literally just went away. And there were some buildings that were smaller than the Twin Towers off to the right side. And you could see those vaporize as those buildings were coming down.
Vaporize implies heat. That's why I say we need a new word for a new phenomenon.
Dustify.
Dustify. There we go. Yep.
And now, who has this type of power? Well, the rumor was Russia has the most advanced system. China has a system. The United States has a system. But who knows who was in collusion with whom? But it's a new force. And Tesla knew that this type of thing could be done, and there's all kinds of other rumors about it. But when you look at what you're looking at, you're the only one I've heard on shortwave or mainstream media that has made this observation, and it's visible to many of us. It's just logic.
Look at the evidence, and you see it.
Yes,
you know,
ma'am.
What I'm amazed at, and I thank you very much, Bill, for your comments and also for calling in today. What I'm amazed is the reaction of people who are hearing something different than what they believed was their so-called truth, is that when people hear different documentation or evidence, people are all of a sudden, that can't be, that can't be. Part of what we're all about on the Power Hour is empowering ourselves with facts and evidence and being able to change our opinions should something else happen. Now, I think there have been some statements that have been made today that are probably inaccurate on both sides. But I think the idea, though, is that we're looking for the truth. If we're all looking for the truth, then why are we fighting? There shouldn't be this infighting. There shouldn't be this kicking people out of certain groups because they didn't go along with the, you know, prevailing theory of how things happened. I have to say, I really commend you for what you're doing, Dr. Wood. And though I don't know if I agree or not, because I don't know enough to agree or not yet. But I commend you for doing what you're doing and sticking with it. Now, I'm going to bring you back after this break because I think there's an unanswered question here that I want to get. And then we're going to bring on Andrew Johnson in just a second after we get back. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. It's 33 minutes after the hour. We've got another guest joining us today from the UK, and I appreciate his patience. We've kind of gotten off of... we've really gotten into this discussion, and so I'm going to bring on Andrew Johnson now. And I apologize for having taken so long to bring him on board. We really kind of needed to get to, there's a lot more information here than we can possibly want to get through here, believe me. And so, Andrew, I thank you very much for joining us in the Power Hour. Thank you so much for your patience today.
No, not at all. Thank you very much for inviting me to come and sort of speak on the program. I really appreciate it.
Certainly. Now, you are a UK researcher. You do support Dr. Wood's findings and the details of the weaponry you believe that was employed here. Now, you've written a number of articles documenting the developments of the cover-up, the censorship, and the controversy. And all that aside, though, the controversy, all of that aside, what is it that you believe that she, and I'm going to leave Dr. Wood on the air, is on target with that has caused you in the UK to adopt some of her findings?
Well, it's basically to do with the energy issue. And if you look at the whole energy issue in the destruction of the towers, it's very anomalous. I think as one of your callers, you know, I think just before the last break, was realizing that the way that the towers disappeared, is when you go back and look at that, it's extremely unusual. And we were recently on a UK fringe TV program, myself and Dr. Wood. Dr. Wood appeared over Skype, and then we were able to show the video clip of the towers actually, you know, turning to dust. And there's one particular segment which is key to this, and that's been termed the spire. 70 columns of unsupported steel turning to dust. And this is really the key to the whole observance of the energy issue. And I encourage people to go back and study the videos from different angles. And if you want to go and look at this Edge Media thing that we did, you'll see that clip in there where you see this effect from about three or four different cameras, and we've got a still image sequence and all this sort of thing. So, you know, it really does go back to that one of those is fundamental points for me, because when that was discussed in the scholars group that I was part of, I could see it was really a flashpoint for setting people one way or the other.
All right. What is your background, Andrew? Give us a little bit of a feel for who you are.
Yeah, my background is in software engineering, which is basically sort of computer programming with a bit of design and stuff like that. So I did that for sort of a period of, well, about 20 years in total on and off. And really this, you know, teaches you to be very analytical and try and take things apart so that you can sort of fix things when they break or design things which are complicated. So, you know, that was really those sorts of skills that I was trying to apply to the research into 9/11 when I began that in really, I suppose, 2004. And I have to say that, you know, I can sympathise with what a lot of the listeners are feeling and how they're reacting because, you know, I first sort of realised that the official story of 9/11 was false in about 2004, but it was really probably another 2 years before I began to see the sorts of points that Dr. Woody's making. And really, to be honest with you, unless you actually sit down and look at the pictures and go through the evidence, you know, you've really got to spend at least, at the very, very least, an hour looking at this, you know, and possibly, you know, many, many, many more hours. And what I've really tried to do in all of this, in working with Dr. Woody, is really, you know, use my own incredulity as a kind of focus and try to bring out the most things that I found most compelling and the easiest to kind of digest. And I, you know, I've made some YouTube videos and this sort of thing, just to make it easier for people to actually get to the first step of what, you know, Dr. Woody's trying to explain. Because
okay, and let me ask a question here. Why the anger? I mean, I don't have anger when I hear what she is saying. I feel like, really, oh, that's something I didn't know. That's something I didn't think about. But how do you explain, psychologically, I don't want to say that word really, but how do you explain the vested interest in a certain, I mean, like George Freund, and I'm just asking you, George, you're a brilliant guy, absolutely brilliant. He does his own radio show in Ontario. But what is, help us understand the anger here.
Well, I think there's several reasons for that, really. I think if you look at the way mainstream figures behave on TV when, you know, anybody comes along and questions the official story of 9/11, we've really experienced that same type of reaction among 9/11 researchers.
Yes.
I think because they feel settled that they've found, you know, the correct version of events, and then to have to, you know, go back again and realize that, you know, there is actually another layer of cover-up. And I certainly feel that I can prove this with the evidence that I've collected in these articles, which includes, you know, audio interviews with people and how they've changed what they've said and how they've tried to sort of cover up what we've said or twist it or muddle it up. And I've tried to document this very carefully. So I think it's this process of people's, you know, having to sort of realize that they've been scammed again, and that automatically thinks, well, you know, they think, well, I'm pretty clever, I can work things out, so I haven't been fooled again, you know. And I went through this same process myself. And what I found with Dr. Wood is she has such a, you know, a very direct way of observing things. And she cuts through all this kind of, you know, the smog that's around with all these things that you've heard about steel being shipped to China and all these high temperature and all this. And, you know, when you actually spend time and look at what she's put on the table, You can only really, as I found it, come to the same conclusion or something extremely similar to what she's put on the table. You know, I've been looking at this for 3 years now, pretty intensively, and I've actually started to find links in this into other areas of research as well. So, you know, I'm convinced that she's absolutely 100% on the money. You know, and if I wasn't convinced of that, I wouldn't have spent you know thousands of dollars of my own money in various activities to try and sort of, you know, help people realize what this evidence is, you know, says and why it's significant, you know.
Okay, now here's the major question I'm going to ask both of you. Here's the unanswered question. All right, whether it is the aerosolization or the dustification or whatever term you want to use, secondary to an energy, direct energy weapon, or whether it was thermite, and explosions that were set intentionally, what difference does it make? And let me go to Dr. Wood. Dr. Wood, your response.
I had a student in early 2006 who told me that 9/11 was about free energy and about the cover-up of free energy. I had yet to appreciate what he was telling me. He was murdered soon after that. It turns out his uncle worked closely with Eugene Maloff, who was involved with the uncovering the cover-up of cold fusion debunking. But he's right on the money that It is about free energy. Imagine how much energy we saw the effects of that day.
All right. It's all about free energy. It's about the use of a Tesla-like weapon, then, you're saying.
That could provide free energy to the planet.
That could provide free energy to the planet. So you're saying that it has something to do with wanting to cover up
that.
The free energy. Okay. All right. Let me ask the same question. All right. So what does all this difference mean? Or what difference does it mean to us? Why would you spend thousands of dollars on this, Andrew? And why do we care?
Yeah, well, I mean, really, what you find with the thermite thing is when you study it in detail and you find these connections between Steve Nee Jones, for example, who was the main proponent of the thermite theory in 2005, and that was when I got involved with the Scholars Group. But then soon after that, I think about 6 months or a year later, I learned that Steve Nee Jones published a paper on muon-catalyzed cold fusion the day before Pons and Fleischmann, who were the chemists who discovered the cold fusion process. And basically what Jones then proceeded to do, and this is documented in Dr. Eugene Malov's book, Fire from Ice, so people can go and read this if they can get hold of a copy. It's out of print now, though. And he basically did what's called a limited hangout of cold fusion. In other words, he didn't say that cold fusion wasn't real, but he basically said that you would never get any useful energy from it. Steve Nee Jones had got connections to Los Alamos National Laboratories, where they developed the A-bomb and all this sort of thing. You know, people can look into these connections for themselves. And so that's when the energy connection to me became clearer. And, you know, we hear a lot of talk on the internet and, you know, sometimes in the mainstream media about all these people who develop these wonderful new motors which, you know, will recharge their own batteries or, you know, will do all these wonderful things without any electricity or oil or run off water or whatnot. But we've never really seen them come into sort of mainstream production. And I think really this is partly because the people at the top who are in the know, who run everything, they know about the energy and they know how this physics, which was used to destroy the towers, they know how it all works. And so it's very important to them that they keep all of this free energy technology marginalized, suppressed, ridiculed. And, of course, nobody in the free energy community ever considers the possibility that this technology has indeed been weaponized. And the few that do consider that will not even look at the evidence that this was actually used on 9/11. And we've approached some of these people, you know, privately, and you know we've established something called 10-foot pole syndrome, which is where these people will just simply not touch and discuss the evidence, and they'll just basically stop you know corresponding, or they will just you know ignore it or whatever. And this has been almost universal. So, you know, it's going to be down to people to make their own decision on this, but they do need to look at the evidence before making a decision and not just assume that because what they've heard about Steve Nee Jones or what William Rodriguez has said about certain people, you know, that what we're saying must be incorrect, because you have to go back and look at the basic photo and picture evidence to make your own decision.
Okay, if in fact we have free energy, and if, it, as Tesla had demonstrated, if we have free energy weapons, which I think we can pretty well agree that with DARPA, with all the money in the world that DOD has, they probably have devised this. All right, then would it not be just a normal understanding then that they would have not used some type of explosive weapon that could have been found in the buildings a lot easier? They would not have used something that is more, people are more aware of, that they, if they wanted to bring these buildings down, they would have utilized some form of energy we weren't accustomed to, don't know about, and wouldn't believe in. Now, let me ask you that, Dr. Wood.
Yeah, and then you can ridicule it away, because as Andrew was nicely packaging, how free energy is marginalized. What have I been?
You have.
Marginalized. You mm-hmm. talk about it, you get marginalized. That's the M.O.
Okay. All right, let me go back to Andrew. Andrew, after all the work that you've done, you have probably seen that there are people that are being kicked out of groups in 9/11. They're being called names. They're being related to in very disrespectful ways. But is this fear that people don't want to address something? I mean, where is all the contention coming from and not the openness to to listen to what she has to say?
Well, I think you know, I've had various debates. For example, there's a 9/11 UK forum where we set that up in 2005. You know, people over here who are interested in, you know, starting to get a new investigation going or this sort of thing, or raising the awareness among British MPs about the questions about the destruction of the towers. And I've been attacked and ridiculed on that forum multiple times over, and a number of sort of false statements have been made about what Dr. Wood has said and what I've said, you know, and this sort of thing. And so, you know, you can see the sort of pattern here, and quite often these people won't discuss the evidence. And so what you end up doing is people have said to me, you know, they've said to me, well, this directed energy weapons research, it is quite interesting, but the problem is no one will believe it. So, you know, we shouldn't really discuss it, because if people are not going to believe it, then, you know, we're not going to get any attention focused on a new investigation into 9/11. And, you know, this is just nonsense, really, because what you're trying to do, are you trying to do something which is going to be popular, or are you going to try and do something to find the truth? You know, and I pointed out to these people that Dr. Wood has indeed done an independent investigation into 9/11. She's posted the results publicly. The funds for that investigation were from her own funds, so it was independent. All the details are available for scrutiny. There's full of accountability. It's been put in a legal framework, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So if you look at the criteria for a new investigation into 9/11, I would say that Dr. Wood's investigation fits perfectly all those criteria, and yet we don't see any, or probably hardly any, but I think I could say any, but I'll you know, hedge my bets and say hardly any groups are discussing this investigation into 9/11.
I agree. And let me give you an example of an email that I got from Cora. She says, Judy Woods is well known as a crackpot, so naturally you invite her on. Her purpose is to make all 9/11 truthers look like crackpots, and she does a good job. This has been known for years. There are dozens of reputable people you could have on. Which side are you on, Joyce? And she says, that's why I don't listen to your program anymore. Well, Cora, I don't think you should listen, because this is a program for people that question and then question and then question. I don't know that anyone has the answer. I don't know that David Ray Griffin has all the answers. I don't know that Gates has all the answers. I don't know anybody has all the answers. What I know is, if they had all the answers, we might have gone forward with an investigation or with a case such as you did, Dr. Wood, with your Ketom case against several contractors. In fact, I wish you would list the contractors that were included in this and the reasons why you filed it against these people. Do you mind doing that?
It's a rather long list.
Some of the major ones, like, yeah, SAIC, that we know about.
Yeah, Science Applications International, and then Applied Research Associates, who are developers and manufacturers of energy weapons. They also have, and I submitted this as in my court case, that they have a contract, or had at the time a contract, to know anything about every weapon of mass destruction that existed on or off the planet that was being developed. And to put them under oath, you know, they obviously know who done it.
Yes, and that was the point. In discovery on this case, you're going to get a chance to depose them, and for you to be deposed. So obviously you had some very good reasons to bring these people to the case. I mean, you know, it is not a small thing to file a federal case like this. Believe me, I know, been there, done that. And so for you to have done that, I have a lot of respect. I know you believe this, that it was a free energy weapon. I want to learn more about why you believe that, and I want to know more about free energy weapons. Now, which company or contractor in the United States would you, at this point, think might know more about directed energy weapons or directed energy being used for weaponry than anyone else?
Well, the person who headed up the contractors for the NIST report from ARA presented this material at engineering conferences, you know, on directed energy weapons.
They did, okay.
And so, yeah, they know what's up. But also, this is not new technology. This is, Nikola Tesla wanted to give the world free energy, but he didn't because he was afraid it would be weaponized.
I think there is so much to what she's saying, ladies and gentlemen. I don't take one side or the other, but listen to what she's saying. We'll be right back after this three-minute break. Stay tuned to the Power Hour. This is Joyce Riley. Welcome back to the Power Hour. 54 minutes after the hour, this is Joyce Riley. Thank you for joining us today. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking to Dr. Fred Bell. The subject will be mind control. I tell you, we just stay on the plain vanilla topics, don't we? Anyway, I just wanted to add that I think there's a lot of frustration here for maybe some of the words that Dr. Wood has used, or maybe you don't understand, or maybe she didn't present it maybe in a way that makes it comfortable for you to accept. That doesn't necessarily mean this is all wrong. I happen to think that we have a different scenario here, totally different scenario. And I want to tell Andrew Johnson that I'm sorry we didn't get to have him on more. I'd like to have him back on again, because this is all about being able to research, to question, and to challenge without these horrendous biases that people have. And I'd like for you to go to her website, spend some time at her website. I think you're going to be shocked and amazed at what you find there. Now, let me go to Andrew Johnson, because, Andrew, I want to ask you if you would sum this up for us as to what was used, what happened during 9/11, and also why you think that why you think that no one wants to address what you and Dr. Wood have been saying.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, really, what we're looking at is Hutchinson effect technology. John Hutchinson is a Canadian scientist who's reproduced some of the research from Nikola Tesla. And in doing so, he generated a number of effects, such as levitation, metals which bent, weird fires. And if you go and look at the WTC page, you'll see all of these effects in the evidence that Dr. Wood collected. And the important thing to realize is that Dr. Wood collected all this evidence before she stumbled on the Hutchinson effect. So in other words, she didn't think, oh, Hutchinson effect, let's match all the evidence to that.
Okay, let me just say you're saying Hutchinson effect, correct?
Hutchinson effect, yes.
Okay.
H-U-T-C-H-I-S-O-N. And John has his own website, thehutchinsoneffect.com. You can go and look at all the videos on there, documents. John was visited in 1983 by Colonel John Alexander from Los Alamos National Laboratories. So we know that they know about this technology. We know that they know it exists and it works. And the moment we put that on the table, we were attacked for doing that within hours of putting that on Ambrose Lane's broadcast. This is all what I've written up in the article that I've written up. So we're looking at energy technology. We know the general type of what it is. We know that it's based on field interference, interferometry, which has been used by John. So we're looking at a cover-up of this technology, which basically could transform the whole geopolitical structure of the whole world if it became into general usage, because we wouldn't need fossil fuels, we wouldn't need oil. So that's what's at stake here, really. And that really, when you think it in those terms, as I do, makes you understand why the cover-up is so powerful, and they're pulling out all the stops to keep people in a state of ignorance. That includes, if you ask me, this is very controversial for me to say this, but I think you mentioned your next guest is going to talk about that. To me, this is up to and including mind control that's been used to keep this secret. So, you can go and look at the evidence for this for yourselves and make your own decision. I'm happy to come on and talk about it again in more detail at any point. Anybody wants to check the evidence for themselves and go to my website, which is checktheevidence.com.
Checktheevidence.com. Okay, we didn't have that listed. We need to get that on our website. Checktheevidence.com. We need to link to that. Let me just give you some of the last few messages I've gotten from email. It says, why the anger? Because they are discrediting the truth movement. No, they're not. Truth is about truth. It's not about one opinion or another. Then it says, Judy is not the easiest person to follow, but when she said Tesla, she got my attention. It may have been a sound weapon, as Tesla proved, as well as thermite. Bingo! What a good statement. Thank you for having this lady doctor on your show today. I do believe she is on to something. Thank you for bringing this out. Please have her come back on someday. Yes, we will. Thank you to Andrew Johnson. Thank you, Dr. Judy Wood. You both have gone out on a limb to say this, and I really do respect you for your research.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on the show today. Listeners, it's all about being open-minded. We don't know the answers. We don't have the truth. You all have a blessed day. We'll see you tomorrow. And don't miss the Power Hour. You never know what we're going to discuss. Have a blessed day. We all love you at the Power Hour.